Let's go to the book of Genesis. I want to read you one scripture. I'll let you be seated, and then I'll kind of wade through this and give you my title and my thought for the night. I hope every Tuesday, a life application Bible study, I give you something more to help you live for God better tomorrow than you did today. Genesis 37:23, it says, "And it came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph." Anybody know what it's like to be stripped of anything? Your pride, you might say, your self-esteem, your reputation, just stripped. They saw him coming, stripped Joseph out of his coat, the only thing he had, his coat of many colors that was on him. Let's pray. God, I come before you tonight. I thank you, Lord, for your blessings, your mercies. Thankful, Lord, for this place that we have and the place we're going to. But yet we have a better place that's not on this earth that you've prepared for us already. For those that are ready to meet you, God, we're just going to walk right there and be with you in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated and we'll continue to read. They stripped Joseph out of the one thing that he could take pride in, if you will, and that his father had given unto him. And they took him, his father's pride, and cast him into a pit, a dirty old pit, dark pit. And the pit was empty, and there was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread. Let's sit down and see what we're going to do with this guy. And they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, God sent. It's not written there, but I'm telling you, God sent a company of Ishmaelites. A company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead. Just about the time they got there, they sat down and they looked up. I'm telling you, God's got perfect timing. They looked up and they thought, here's our opportunity coming. With their camels bearing spices and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to the place where was prophesied to Abraham that your children would be in captivity for 400 years and they'll be broke, but they're going to come out with great substance. How are we going to get down there? Oh, God's got a way to get you there. He's got a way to get you there. And so they just looked up and they said, here's our chance to get rid of him. And Judah said unto his brethren, hey, what profit is it if we slay our brother? I mean, there's nothing good going to come out of this. We're not going to gain anything. And conceal his blood. Come, let us sell him. Let's profit from this. They thought they were going to profit from it, but not in the way they thought they were. He said, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him. For, you know, he is our brother in our flesh, and his brethren were content to do that. They would say, yeah, let's do that. No doubt they already thought and knew how they're going to divide this little bit of money they're going to get. And then there passed by Midianites, merchant men. Merchant men were men that would buy it at one price and sell it at another price, right? So they're going to sell him to these men that will resell him. To these merchant men. And they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit. I don't know what going through Joseph's mind. He may have thought, well, finally, brethren, y'all come to your senses. You finally, thank y'all for getting me out of this pit. But they got him out to sell him. They got him out of the pit. Has anybody ever helped you out of the pit and sold you? They got you out for a reason that they might gain by it. And they sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. You know what they sold him for? About a slave. Sold him to be a servant and a slave. That's what they did. 20 pieces of silver. And they bought Joseph, and they brought Joseph to Egypt. So 20 pieces of silver takes him out of their hands into these other people's hands. Now they got 20 pieces of silver to divide up among the 10 of them because Benjamin probably was not involved with this. And so now they've got the money and Joseph is being transported away. Now watch verse 36. And the Midianites sold or resold him into Egypt unto Potiphar. Potiphar then buys him from these merchant men, an officer of Pharaoh's and captain of the guard. I want to title my lesson tonight, Sold Down the River. Sold down the river. And maybe you know where that phrase come from. Does anybody know where that phrase come from? One person. This phrase, sold down the river, was coined in around 1850 because in Louisville, Kentucky was the greatest trade center for slavery during the time of American slaves. And this city alone sold between 2,500 and 4,000 slaves every year. What passed through there was the Ohio River, and it was a tributary that ran into the Mississippi River. And as the industry and the farming industry grew in that central part of America, then another farm would come and they would sell those slaves down the river. They would just keep moving them down the river. And they'd go down the Ohio River and be sold. And they kept going until finally they got to where the river ended, New Orleans. And that's where many of them ended up at. So that's where this phrase, being sold down the river, comes from. It was transporting these slaves from one place that was higher down this river. And sometimes it looks like, if you're already feeling what I'm trying to tell you, sometimes it feels like the river's never going to end. It's like, where do I stop? Where does this river stop? Where do I quit being betrayed? Because sold down the river was really a betrayal. That's what, when we use that term, we now in this time, we say, man, they sold me down the river. It means they betrayed me, right? And so that's really what it means today, but that's where it came from. And sometimes, my brothers and sisters, you have to go with the flow. They couldn't transport them upriver. They transported them down the river. So sometimes in life, I have learned, you can fight and you can fuss and you can do, but sometimes you have to go with the flow, because there are bigger plans for you than what the world has for you. See, God had plans for Joseph, and so did they, but their plan, they didn't know, was falling into God's plans. So many times, my brothers and sisters, we have to go with the flow until we find out where the river ends. Amen. And, you know, a lot of times when we get in trouble, we go pray, God, get me out of this. Get my children out of this. Lord, I don't know why this is happening to them. And it looks like they're going from one crisis to another crisis. But could it be they're just going down the river to get to the destination that God wants them to be? The Bible plainly tells us that you don't know how to pray as you ought. You don't know how to pray as you ought, because you're going to pray, try to pray your way out of everything. You want everything to be perfect, and you're going to try to pray away every trouble. That's not God's plan. It's not God's plan at all. And that's why he said we don't know how to pray except the Spirit make intercessions for us with groanings that cannot be heard. The Spirit of the Lord inside of you needs to sometimes comfort the carnal person inside you and say, boy, it's going to be all right. Ma'am, it's going to be all right. This is just part of God's bigger plan. You can't see it now. But Joseph could not see it. What he saw was a dream, but what he could not see was the end of the river. He was going to get sold and resold and imprisoned and palace and pit and go all the way down the river till it would stop. It was prophesied to his grandfather Abraham that they would be in captivity for 400 years and come out with this great substance. But, I mean, Joseph probably never thought he would be the man that would make this happen. Amen. I realized that when the children of Israel got ready to exit out of the, do their exodus out of Egypt, you didn't want to be trying to go in when they were coming out. Never try to go in and exit. That's the dangerous place in a store or any place you go to, in a place of business, to try to go in the exit. Never try to go in and exit when God is bringing something out, because you will get trampled over. They went in 75. They come out about a minute and a half. Don't ever try to go in where God's wanting you to go out. So in order for prophecy to be true, Joseph would be sold down the river and positioned to the future place where God could fulfill the promise. Many times you go through these prophetic places until God can fulfill the promise that he has in your life. Egypt was the land of prophecy, but not the land of promise. It looked like it would never happen, but they were sold down the river until finally they would reach the promised land. Now, let me tell you, Joseph didn't wake up one day and say, Daddy, I'm thinking about moving to Egypt. Let me tell you, if his brothers had not betrayed him, he'd have lived right there till the day he died. But because he didn't ask to be sold, he was forced. And many times, I'm here today because I was forced out of another place. Sometimes you have to go where you're forced out of because God doesn't want you there, but for that time, that season, and you're going to go down the river until you find the place where you're going to walk in the promises of God. I hope I'm helping somebody. Amen. Being sold down the river is not a pleasant time or a pleasant thing, but let me tell you, if you can't float down the river, the little old ark, you'll never lead God's people out one day. You got to be willing to be put in a little ark, just the infant, not even knowing what's going on. Moses floats down the river with the crocodiles, raised in Pharaoh's house, come back and says, let my people go. Being sold is one of the greatest movers there ever was. Do you know why we're moving? Do you really know why we're moving? The reason we're moving is because we are sold. That's why we're moving. Are you understanding my message tonight? You move because you're sold. You're betrayed in some cases, but we could not move until we were sold. And then we were sold, and now we have to move. So you go to the grocery store, they sell you something, then you move it. If somebody else owns a piece of property, they sell you something, they want you out of that house. I want to move in that house. Somebody and something's got to move when it's sold. And so Joseph was sold down the river. And maybe you've been betrayed, maybe you've been talked about, but if you had to leave some place, and we all have from time to time, you need to thank God that that happened to you, because you can see, I hope now, why that happened. But when you're going through it, you can't see it. You can't see and understand, why am I in this pit? Why am I a servant? Why am I a slave? But you will get to the end of the river one of these days. Joseph, I don't think, ever had plans of going to Egypt, but he did have a dream, and he dreamed it again. He dreamed it twice, and the second time is what got him in trouble. And let me tell you, your dreams will take you places you never planned on going. Say it again. Your dreams will take you places you never planned on going. I always dreamed of doing the will of God. I never knew it would be here. Never knew it would be here. But I had a dream of fulfilling the will of God. Joseph's dream caused his brothers to hate him, and they thought they'd dispose of him, but little did they know they were setting him up to save them much, much later in life. They stripped Joseph of his coat that his father had given to him. They threw him in this pit, sat down to eat, and began to discuss, how can we profit from this? And the difference between real Christians, listen close, I want you to hear this. The difference between real Christians and those of the world are those quote-unquote Christians that are carnal-minded. The people of the world always seek to see what they can get out of life. What can I get out of this situation? I've said this before. I won't be dead long. Somebody will ask my wife, what y'all going to do with that truck that he had? How about them guns he had? Y'all don't need that property. Somebody's going to want something out of it. Carnal-minded people always want to kill, steal, and destroy. They're takers. They seek to get what they can out of life. But all of those who truly follow Jesus want to add to somebody else's life. I come, he said, that you might have life and more abundant. I came to give you life and add to it. Amen. So carnal-minded people always want to know, well, what can I get out of this? What am I going to get out of this? What did they do for me? And they're jealous of other people that things are done for. Carnal-minded people do not rejoice when other people are favored. It causes jealousy. That's what got Joseph in trouble, was the coat. His father favored him. But let me tell you who else favored him. God favored him. And anytime the favor of God is upon you, those carnal-minded, judgmental, jealous people will rise up. So Judah, of all people, Mr. Praise, says, look, we're not going to profit anything from this. Why don't we sit down and eat and talk about this? And then they looked up and they sold him, saw these Ishmaelites coming, these merchantmen, and they sell him to them and they resell Joseph to his destination. So Joseph gets in the place of prophecy, but not in the place of promise. He gets there in bones, you might say, because they transported him down there in a coffin. But betrayal is a way of moving you. Anybody been betrayed? I'm sure you have. I hope that you haven't done anybody else. But betrayal will always move you into the promises of God, into your destiny. And every time I've been betrayed, it's always moved me to another place. Joseph goes from being a slave in Potiphar's house, who was the captain of the guard, to being over him. Joseph goes from being the slave of the captain of the guard to being the governor and second in command. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's how God turns things around. But the story doesn't end here, because you might understand that Joseph's brothers would never understand what was going on. They did not have a clue. They thought we were rid of him. How those mean boys could let their father cry for his son. The Bible says, he said, I will mourn to my grave for my son. And watch him do that. That tells you the mercies of God right there. That God would save those folks that did that to their father. I'm good thing I wouldn't. I'd have left them out there. I'm being honest with you. I struggle with that sometimes. In Genesis 45 and 1, and Joseph could not refrain himself. We're getting to the end of the river. And Joseph could not refrain himself. His brothers are all there. If they've come back, you know, for more corn and all this, from before them all. All of them stood by him, and he cried. And looking at this man, they don't know who he is. And he's crying, and tears are coming down his face, and his countenance is changing. And so he caused every man to go out from him. He pushed all these guards out and made them go outside. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud. And the Egyptians of the house of Pharaoh heard. They're like, what is going on in here? They don't have a clue. There's only two that knows what's going on, the dreamer and God. They're the only two. Have you ever been in a place where it seems like nobody understands what you're doing and why you're doing it? But you're the dreamer, and the God's the one that gave you the dream. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And they're like, still, who is this guy? No, it can't be. It's thousands of miles. This is years ago. No, can't be. And his brethren could not answer him, and they were troubled at his presence. This just can't be. Can't be. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me. Ooh, they thought, if it's him, we're in deep trouble now. Come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said again, I am your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Then they knew him. I'm the man that you moved out of my father's house by selling me. Now watch closely. Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither or here. You sold me here, but God did send me. You see how God sends you? He lets you be sold. He lets you be betrayed. He lets dishonest people work with you. He lets you get fed up till he finally moves you down the river to the place of promise. He said, you sold me hither, but God did send me here before you to preserve life, your life, and many others. Amen. God sent him ahead of them to prepare the way for life and the exodus that would come out of the next chapter, if you will, the book of Exodus, all the 1 million plus that would come out of there. He's saying, you sold me, but God sent me. Don't ever think, my brothers and sisters, that God doesn't have a bigger plan for you than you even know he has. Sometimes I think hell knows more about me than I know about myself, the way they fight you. And maybe somebody this evening is at the point of the pit, the point of the pit, where you're in the pit and you're like, my dream didn't go like this. My dream, no, I saw this. I didn't see this. God shows you so many times. If he showed you what was between the dream and the end of the river, you'd say, I'm staying right here. I'm leaving now, but I'm not going that direction. You would try to pray your way out of it, make your way out of it, avoid it if at all possible. But as I read the scripture recently, he puts eternity in our heart, but he does not show us from the beginning until the end what he's actually doing in your life. In that pit, I imagine you could think like Joseph, where do I go from here? Where am I? I mean, you can't go anywhere. It's in a pit. So where am I going from here? Joseph was a type of Savior. Can you say amen? He saved many alive. He's a type of Savior, which brings me to my closing remarks tonight of Jesus Christ, the real Savior. Amen. Jesus, too, was sold down the river. He was sold down the river. Amen. The difference between you and Joseph and Jesus is that Jesus knew beforehand he would be sold down the river. He not only knew beforehand, he knew who would sell him down the river. And yet he walked into it, knowing that he was walking into it. But you and I don't know what we're walking into. So that's why the scripture says, the just shall walk or live by faith. I don't know where I'm going from in this pit. I have no idea. But I have faith that the God that give me the dream is the God that deliver me out of here. Amen. When you read John chapter 6 and 64, I'll show you, but there are some of you, Jesus spoke, that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. Amen. He already knew who to give the purse to. When he called Judas, he knew to give him. He loved money. He loved to count it. He loved to know where it could have gone. If you'd have just done it like this, then why is she wasting that money? We could have given it to the poor. He knew exactly who to call. And he called that man for that purpose. And let me tell you what, Judas Iscariot was the greatest propeller of getting Christ to the cross. Peter wasn't going to get him there. John sure wasn't going to get him there. Judas was the one that would sell him down the river to move him to another place, which was called his destiny. And perhaps you're here today. I don't know everybody's situation or why you're here, but many times people will move because of things that happen in another place, and it just pushes them down the river till finally you get to the place where God wants you to be. And I hope this is it. Amen. Matthew 26 and 15, and he said unto them, what will ye give me? This is Judas saying, what will you give? That sounds so familiar. What profit can I get out of this? What can I get out of this? Rather than just betray him, saying he's over there, I might as well take advantage of this opportunity. What can I get out of this? And I will deliver him unto you. I'm not going to tell you where he's at. I know where he's at, but I'm not telling you until I know what I'm going to get out of this. I despise people. You always got to get something out of you to help you. What you going to give me if I... Oh, forget it. Forget it. What will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him. They agreed with him for 30 pieces of silver. I got to doing a little math. Inflation wasn't a whole lot during that time, because they sold Joseph for 20. And they sell him for 30. That's only 50% more over hundreds of years. 30 pieces of silver they sold him for. I'm sure there's a significance to that. Right offhand, I don't know what it is. But it wasn't much more than Joseph. And from that time, he sought opportunity. Another writer said a convenient opportunity to betray him. From that time on, once he got in covenant with them about selling him, he's always looking like, maybe this is a good time to do it, where I can betray him and it won't look so bad. I'm going to try to preserve my life and lose his. So Christ was sold down the river to his final destination of the cross. And at the cross is where all the dreams were fulfilled. Your dreams, my dreams, and his dreams of dying and becoming the sacrifice. Little did they know when he went into the temple that day and he turned over the tables. Why did he turn it over? Because of the money changers. They were buying sacrifices. Little did they know they would buy him. They bought him for 30 pieces of silver. And he was the sacrifice that was the lamb that would take away the sin of the world. Those doves, those oxen they were buying couldn't do it. But they bought him. And it was written by the prophet Jeremiah that he'd be sold for 30 pieces of silver and it would end up in the potter's field, that money. As they come tonight, I'd like to sing an old song called Glory to His Name. If you don't mind, if you got something else, you can sing that. The selling of Christ moved him from the garden to the cross. Think about it. From the garden to the cross. From praying to crying out. It moved him from Gethsemane to Golgotha. The most remarkable thing about Jesus and Judas is this to me. He treated him just the same as he did all the others. Knowing, Brother Valentine, I love you to death, my friend. But if I knew that you were going to betray me, somebody had to pray for me that I could treat you just as good. Knowing that by tomorrow, you're going to deliver me into the hands of wicked people. Kissed him that night on the cheek, said, Friend. I imagine we'd all have our escape route if we knew we were going to be betrayed. We'd all find a way around the problem. But if you try to find a way around it, you may miss why God put you there in the beginning. Joseph was a man that didn't, in my setting tonight, Joseph was a man that did not know where he was going, how it would end. See, I've got a dream. I've got a dream of going to heaven. I got a dream of a rapture. I got a dream of eternal life. I don't know how I'm going to get there, when I'm going to get there. I don't know what I'm going to go through to get there. And then on the other hand, we have Christ who knew it all. And yet he avoided none of it and went through it all. My point is this, they both had the same end result. They both saved many alive. Joseph went through it, never knew what he's going to go through, to the very end, and looked at his brothers as Christ did on the cross and said, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." He looked and said, "Don't worry, don't be angry with yourself." Because you read another saying, it's thought that he was going to slay them. He said, "Don't be angry with yourself. You sold me, and that's how God sent me." And so now I look back, and I've been sold down this river, and I was sold down that river, and I sold down that river. And I believe I'm getting to the end of the river. Praise the Lord. Amen. You'll get there, my brothers and sisters. You'll get to the end of the river where you'll know that this is what God had purposed in your life. Amen. Would you stand with me tonight? God has plans for you that's bigger than you. It's bigger than your knowledge. It's bigger than what you can see. You don't know where this river will end. But I'm here to tell you, keep living for God. Keep loving people. If God moves you, go with the flow of whatever God's doing in your life. And he'll bring you to the place where you'll know exactly why you went through what you went through. Let's sing this old song. Thank the Lord. I've learned, I'm just telling you from experience, I've learned you can't kick against the bricks. If God wants to move you, he's going to find a way to move you. Paul, you're going to find out it's not easy to kick against the bricks. You might as well go with the flow. I want the Spirit of the Lord to be the flow that carries me down the river. Hallelujah. I don't want to be fighting my way upstream against. I want to go with the flow of the Spirit to where God wants me to go. Let's pray. God, I come before you tonight. This sermon may be for nobody here. Maybe somebody will hear it. Maybe one or two. But I know this, God. You've taught me, hallelujah, to depend on you, God, because you've got a bigger plan than I do. Amen. My plans have been too small. You have bigger plans for me and for this church and for the people in this church. God, help us to depend on you when we don't know where else to turn. We got to depend on you. As David said, in thee and thee only do I trust, God. Glory to God. We ask you for solidarity. We ask you for wisdom. We ask you for understanding from each and every one of us here tonight. Help us, Lord, to go with the flow of the Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be dismissed in the Spirit of the Lord. Greet the weavers.